Love means I am committed to your best interests. I am committed to you totally apart from any merit on your part. And I am available to serve you in the name of Jesus without consideration of cost to myself. Occasionally, a fellow pastor will say to me, "You have a great church." Now, his reference is to our numerical growth, the number of people who confess faith in Christ, our ministry to hurting people, the members of our pastoral team. But that reference is only partially correct, for it is not an increase in attendance that makes a church great. It is not programs or finances. It is not a reputation or staff. A church is a great church when the members of that church are growing Christians who are involved in serving people in the name of Jesus Christ. So do not ask the question, "How can my church be a great church?" Ask instead, "How can I become a great Christian?" Ask, "How can I move toward greater spiritual maturity in Christ?" Ask, "How can I assist my brothers and sisters in Christ in their growth in grace?" Now you find the answers to those questions, and you will find the key to a great church. I would answer those questions by calling your attention to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 19. Please read the entire passage very carefully at your convenience, for there you will find 10 qualities which identify a maturing Christian. I propose to identify and review those qualities in this series of studies on the theme, Moving Toward Spiritual Maturity. This is no insignificant matter. It is obedience to the biblical command that we are to grow up in Him who is the head, even Christ. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 reads, "Let brotherly love continue." Now there is the first and essential step in growing to be like Jesus. God is love, and those who are His dear children must reflect their love in their own lives. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So do not be surprised that love is such an essential part of the Christian life, for our salvation is based on the love of God. John 3:16 reads, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Upon conversion, the Holy Spirit broadcasts the love of God in our hearts, because Romans 5:5 reads, "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us." And the Holy Spirit develops the grace of love as the very first of that fruit of the Spirit. For Galatians 5, 22-23, enlisting the fruit of the Spirit begins by saying, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace," and so forth. Love is such a natural part of the Christian life that it would be a contradiction of one's new nature in Christ if the Christian did not love others. So Hebrews 13:1 challenges us, "Let brotherly love continue." Now examine those four words very carefully. First, "let" indicates that we have the power to approve or disapprove the presence of brotherly love. "Let" indicates choice. It is as if the writer says, "By an act of your will, consent to and assist brotherly love to continue in your human relationships." Now, do you consciously seek to cultivate and express the love of God in your contacts with people? Jesus said that a sign of our salvation and our testimony to the world that we are truly people of God is that we love. Love, however, is more than human attraction. It's different from physical passion. It is a divine attribute of God Himself, which is given to those who receive the divine nature. It is more than emotion. It is commitment. For this love means, I am committed to your best interest. I am committed to you totally apart from any merit on your part. I am available to serve you in the name of Jesus without consideration of cost to myself. You see how that surpasses normal human relations? It is a brotherly love which we are to express toward one another. The brotherly element indicates family relationship. Now, I may become displeased with my brother, but I still recognize him as my brother. We have a blood relationship which transcends all other bonds. I recognize him as belonging to me and my belonging to him. He is my brother. The brotherly love is to be permitted to continue. Now that suggests that brotherly love is already present if it is going to continue. Our concern is not to receive that love, but to exercise what is already present. You remember that the love of God is broadcast in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, so it's already present. It's just that we're not to quench it or to refuse to apply it to daily relations. We're rather to cultivate it and to be sure that it is freely expressed in all situations. Now, this is no small issue in Christian growth. For the person who does not express true brotherly love will suffer a spiritual retardation. He will be in direct disobedience of the Lord Jesus, who commanded us to love one another as He loves us. It is sin to refuse to cultivate the expression of brotherly love in our relationships with our fellow man. We could express Hebrews 13:1 in the words, "Keep on loving each other as brothers." The brotherly love of Christians is so deep that it is undisturbed by mistakes. It is not based on merit, as if to say, "I will love you if." It's not based on merit, as if to say, "I love you because." It says simply, "I love you as a brother." Now, what if differences arise between you and your peers, where brotherly love mandates you to forgive all real and imagined wrongs that you may have suffered, and brotherly love motivates you to settle to issues which have caused the breach in fellowship? It never seeks to get every sin repaid by equal punishment. Instead, it forgives and seeks to restore because it recognizes that love will hide rather than expose one's faults. On the other hand, brotherly love is confrontational. It is not so weak as to allow a hurtful lifestyle to go unrebuked. True love will say, "I love you too much to let you continue in this lifestyle without warning you of its consequences." Just as a loving parent corrects the conduct of the little child, so Christian brothers and sisters seek to assist one another in living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So pause now and examine your spiritual life. Are you living a life of love? Do you recognize that the love of God, not your own weak human affection, is to govern your life? Are you making a conscious effort to keep brotherly love as a controlling element in your relations with other people? Have you made an unceasing commitment to live in love? Well, Father, we recognize you are a God whose primary attribute is love. And we thank you for loving us before we were born, even before the foundation of the world. And thank you for showing your love to us by revealing yourself in your only begotten Son, Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Thank you for flooding our hearts with your love. So keep us reminded we're to love as dear children, for Jesus' sake. Amen.